right. You guys happy? God's in a good mood. I just want to say that again because it feels good. God's in a good mood. Like, he's not frustrated. He's not flustered. He's not, oh my gosh, look what's happening. He's really good. Do you know that if we see him the way that we're supposed to see him, we'll see ourselves the way we're supposed to see ourselves. My heart cry for healing is not just, you know, you heard somebody said it, one of the amazing speakers. They said, instead of just teaching, giving someone a fish, you teach them how to fish. My heart cry is to equip the everyday believer to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Because you're not supposed to come to me for prayer. Are you hearing me? Yeah. I'm not supposed to be the guy with the line at the front. That's over. The man of power for the hour is done. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. It's about Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's about the reality of the anointing of God that's available for every hungry believer. It's just, you can't feast on the world and taste test Jesus and expect good fruit. All right, I'm gonna say that over here. You can't feast on the world and taste test Jesus and expect change. You can't. You can't just watch one of the Gospel Truth Network's things once a day and then not have intimacy with God and expect fruit. And I love Andrew's ministry. His ministry has spoken to me so much. He's such a man of God. Everybody they have here that teaches is absolutely incredible. It's awesome. I mean, incredible awesome. Like, I sat in last session, I'm like, yes. Because the whole answer for healing is you got to love yourself. And we don't think it is, because we think it's God, you know, if he wants to heal me, he can. But he paid the price 2,000 years ago for all of us. He paid the price so that our sins might be forgiven and so that our bodies might be healed. He did. He paid that price. And I understand that, you know, some of us aren't healed yet. That doesn't mean it's not happening. It's such a big deal. Are you guys good? Yes. All right. I plan on confusing you and then straightening it out. All right? Okay. Let me see here. I have so many things I want to talk about. Jesus, help me focus. I do, because the Gospels, I mean, this is a big book. It's huge. It's got so many things in it. And every place you go, you can flip it open, just land and go, I'm going to preach on that. And it's amazing. Are you with me? I wanna talk about healing, but one of my most important messages on healing, the most important thing, I want you to go to 1 John 3. We're gonna touch something real quick. Oh my gosh. That one's gonna hurt. Well, let me pause for a second on that one. Just stay there. We'll get there eventually. Lord, I just thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you so much for your love for us to see the reality of who you created us to be. Because when we see what you say we should see, we'll see like you see. When we see what you've created us to be, we will be people that walk around and actually bless a lost and dying world. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start out with this. The mystery that's been revealed, who knows it? What's the mystery that's been revealed? Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? 1 John 2:27. It's the mystery that's been, it's, you guys all right? I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna read it again. We've been in this place of not understanding the mystery, okay? Colossians 1:27 and 1 John 2:27, it says that you and I have been given the anointing. Are you with me? You and I have been given the anointing, and that anointing that we've been given teaches us all things that are true. So there is Christ in us. Christ wasn't Jesus's last name. It wasn't Joseph and Mary Christ had Jesus Christ, right? It was Jesus, the one anointed by God, the one smeared with God, the Messiah. So Christ in us, or Christian, the word Christian means an anointed one, little anointed one with the ability to anoint. So we have this amazing presence of God that's available to us, and it's called the anointing. If I don't hunger and thirst for the right thing, I am going to taste test Jesus on a Sunday or at a healing conference or at a family Bible conference, and I'm not gonna walk the way that God created me to walk. He created me to walk in great victory to where demons are terrified of me. We're not terrified of them. When Jesus walked up on a demon, it wasn't an exciting day for the demon. Are you hearing me? Yet Jesus tells the disciples, don't get excited when demons leave. I'm like, it's pretty exciting. Because that person's in torment and they need freedom. And when a demon leaves, great freedom comes. It's absolutely incredible. I was in Brazil, because I minister all over the world. I was in Brazil and I was at a churrascaria. I ministered with a man named Reinhard Bunke. I traveled with Reinhard and the ministry for about 8.5 years. And ministered at all their fire conferences, all their schools of evangelism. And for those of you that don't know who Reinhard was, he was one of the greatest evangelists to ever step on this planet. And I believe right now they're up to about 90 million people coming to Christ and getting plugged into local churches. Reinhard went to be with the Lord, but at this time, Reinhard was still alive. And it was years ago. And I was going out to eat after a fire conference at a place that's from the Lord called a churrascaria. Do you know what a churrascaria is? It's a Brazilian steakhouse where they just keep bringing meat. I love vegetables, but meat has to be right on the other side. So you have a red card and a green card. The red card means stop. The green card means go. I actually think that's a lack of faith to have the red card. Sorry. So we went to the churrascaria. We went in. I went in with my friend who heads up Stefan Brazil. And we walk into the restaurant and one of the waiters came up and I said, hey, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you so much and that he has a plan for your life and I would love to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And he's like, I'm sorry, sir, we're busy. I'm like, okay. So it's 9:30 at night. They're very busy. And so the manager came over to the table and he notices that I'm talking to different waiters and waitresses. And I said, look, man, here's the deal. Like, I love you. I'm from America. I love Jesus. Like, I was really lost. Now I'm found. I was blind. Now I see. And everywhere I go, I want to make sure that Jesus is glorified. He's amazing. So is there anybody that has problems here that I can pray for so they could be healed? He goes, let me check. So he goes, and 2 minutes later, he comes back. And he goes, no. I said, you didn't check. I said, there's no way you checked. You have like 30 or 40 waiters. And you came back in 2 minutes. He goes, really, we're very busy. I said, well, can I pray for you? He says, sure, if you want to, you can pray for me. And he's just looking at whatever he's looking at. I said, well, can I put my hand on your belly and just pray? He said, sure. So I put my hand on his belly, on his back, and I said, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. And he went, ugh, and he screamed. He started growling. His eyes rolled up into his head. His tongue shot out. He started foaming at the mouth, and he hit the ground. That's a great dinner. We call that a happy meal. So he hits the ground. He's on the ground. He's screaming. Ugh. And he's growling like an animal. Most people would be afraid of that. Now, I've got to admit that my hair stands up when that stuff happens because it's evil. But I have the greater one that lives in me. My confidence, my Godfidence has to be on the anointing that dwells in me. See, God's not a mist or a vapor, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit's in me, but he wants to have more of me than just be in me. He wants to rest upon me too. Right? Holy Spirit's in me for my sake, but he rests upon me for yours. Are you with me? Some people are confused. They believe that when you get born again, you get everything. That's not true. You don't get everything. There's more available. The problem is in your hunger. What are you hungry for? Are you hungry just to live life so-so and kind of put your life on cruise? Because there's no cruise control in Christianity. No, you're supposed to be swimming upstream violently. I'm not kidding. See, because when you fall in love with him and you see the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, you'll never be the same. See, I'm coming down off here. No one else did it, but I can because no one stopped me. I totally believe that the epidemic in the body of Christ is a lack of understanding the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I really do. I believe it's that simple. Jesus said the two greatest commandments were love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one is like it, which means the second commandment's just like the first. It's kind of weird to love God, but the second one's like the same thing. That doesn't make sense to the human mind, but God said the second one is like it. Like it means exactly like. It's not just similar, it's exactly. So to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. And then the second one's like it, to love my neighbor as I love myself. Like when Greg Moore was up there preaching, he started talking about self-forgiveness. It's one of the biggest epidemics in the body of Christ. Satan gets away with murder. He really does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his whole motivation. He wants to steal your identity. He wants to kill any kind of worth that God has given you. He does it through religion. See, religion is notorious for telling you that you're a sinner. But the reality of the gospel is, says that the Bible says that once I was a sinner, that God saved by grace through faith, God calls me a saint. Being a saint is not a sinner. Now, a saint has the ability to sin, but because they fell in love with Jesus, they no longer want to. It's a completely different identity, and it sounds like blasphemy to the religious mind. When I say religious mind, that doesn't mean that you're practicing this religiosity. It just means what you grew up with. We talked about old wineskins and new wineskins. I mean, it all comes together. But the Holy Spirit wants to rest upon a breed of Christian that is totally in love and infatuated with Jesus. Not just want to sing a song on a Sunday. I'm talking about infatuated, so in love. Like we left here after the service. I walk out early. I left because I wanted to go because if I knew if I could get to my house, I could have 20 minutes with him. I could just shoot to the house quick and have 20 minutes with him. And we got to drive up treacherous roads and it's ridiculous because we're staying up in the, I don't even know. Phones don't work. It's not far from here, but it's no man's land. But I'm like getting up there. Got to get to the house. Got to get to the house. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Thank you for who you created me to be. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for never, ever turning your back on me. Thank you for everything that Greg Moore said. Because I believe that. I believe it all. The crumpled up dollar, the $100 bill. I believe it all. It doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33 that you are to seek first something, not second, not third, not fourth. It says you are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and then all these things. And actually, it's a chapter, it's the biggest chapter on worry in the Bible. Don't worry about this, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry your butt. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. So as I seek him and the reality of why I'm here, why are you here? Are you here just to cruise? Are you here just to go to heaven one day? Because if it's all about going to heaven one day, the Bible should be changed. Because the Bible doesn't teach about just going to heaven. The Bible teaches about your life lived here, worthy of the call, burning, shining, a lamp that never, ever, ever goes out. And I've never seen a depressed person shine. So I must see who he created me to be, or else I'm going to look just like the world. As a matter of fact, when tragedy hits, it's an invitation to majesty. But when tragedy hits and you're thinking worldly, you're thinking, oh my gosh, we need to pray. But not here, somewhere else. No, you need to pray now, right here, because the kingdom wants to come now, right here, through you. His kingdom come, his will be done on this earth, the same as it is in heaven. And there's none of that in heaven, so it needs to leave here. Simple, simple truths. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Great is your name to be reverenced. Come on, your kingdom come. What is the kingdom? Like Jesus preached about the kingdom 100 more times than he preached about being born again. But being born again is essential to unlock your potential. It's essential, but it unlocks your potential. But if I just live in the born again place and just grow a little, I'm feasting on the world and not feasting on Jesus. You are what you eat. I'm so serious. You need to switch your appetite. Your appetite, that's it. You need to switch because we need carnal desires crushed. We need that stuff crushed. We need to be crucified with Christ and no longer live. Come on. Galatians 2. I guess I should be yelling out the names, the numbers of the scriptures so you can put them up. Sorry. I just go scripture. I love it so much. We can't afford to live like the world does. Do you know that the church is becoming just as worried, if not more worried than the world is? What is happening right now? It's a lack of trust. Come on, we've allowed the thief to take the place of our Father. We've blamed God for things that God's never done. We said the Lord's in, God's in control. We say amen. So all of a sudden when we're taught that, we think everything that happens is the Lord. No, there's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the God of this world, the prince of power of the air. Not everything that happens is God. I need to know that. There are so many people that even are sick and believe that God did this. We talked to somebody, it was horrible the other day. Horrible. She was crippled and she believed that God gave her this for a reason. And she believed she has dreams where she saw handicapped people in heaven. I mean, it was totally demonic. So we headlocked her, choked. No, we didn't. We didn't. Don't post that on YouTube. I got enough going on for me right now. I do. Let me tell you something. There are three things in the gospel that will get you persecuted. The first one is righteousness. The second one is healing. And the third one is money. You talk about money, you talk about healing, or you talk about righteousness, all three of them will get you pounded. But Jesus, here's the problem is, I think we've grown up in a culture that needs to be liked because they don't know we're loved. So because I need to be liked by you, I don't know I'm loved by him. If I don't know I'm loved by him, then I'm only gonna speak the things to make you like me. I don't wanna violate you and I don't wanna upset you, so I'd rather send someone to hell than tell them the truth. We're not thinking that way, we're just thinking I just gotta get out of this situation because it's painful. Which is more painful, you standing in heaven and looking at the person that you should have shared your heart with in a goat line, looking at you saying, why don't you tell me? Which is more painful for you? See, we don't like controversy. You don't like confrontation. I love confrontation. I long for confrontation. I do, because I serve a big God. Like a big God, like a confrontation is like Mount Carmel to me. I'm serious. A confrontation is Mount Carmel. And screaming, yelling, I don't believe. Rah, 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 rah. Okay, let's just pray. Well, I don't care. I don't believe. Okay, well, let's pray. Yeah, I don't believe. Okay, don't believe. Let me pray. I'm so serious. So in this restaurant, this guy's on the ground flailing, like screaming, and all the waiters are around. People have scrambled to get out of the restaurant. I mean, and it's a scary scene if you don't know what's happening. But I know what's happening. And so we just commanded this thing to leave. I didn't play games with it. I didn't ask it its name. Stop with your deliverance weirdness. Stop asking demons their name when they're all liars. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Did I do that? I just did that, didn't I? I just don't believe in petting demons. I don't believe in talking to them. I believe Jesus told them to shut their mouths. So why would I converse with one? What is your name? Who cares? Leave. Leave in Jesus' name. I don't care what your name is. Demons love to play games with you. Don't play games. Make them leave in the name of Jesus. Break the power of the enemy's back, because Jesus said in Luke 10:19, I have given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over. All. Hold on a second. Let's see if that word's real. Are you sure it said all?
Yes.
If it said all, then we need to examine that. What is all? Everything. That means that, look, Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given unto me. And if Jesus has all, that means someone has none. No, no, no. If Jesus has all, then someone has none. Come on. And people, look, here's what happens in people's minds. Then why do I pray for people when they're not healed? Then why this? Stop thinking that way and just listen to what I'm sharing right now. Let's just listen to this and let's listen to understanding kingdom, because the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, is not meat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom is in the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? Come on. Is that the, yeah, it's the New King James. Okay. But it's peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy. So righteousness is the answer. It's the end all answer for everything. You know, the Bible says desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But when you desire the meat of the word, you are talking about a word called righteousness. Righteousness is the meat of the word. All the meat of the gospel is found in the word of righteousness. It is the very piece of the gospel that most Christians don't believe. You know they're not believing it because they revisit their past that's been annihilated by the blood. If you revisit your past apart from the blood of Jesus, you're asking a spirit of offense to come into your present tense and bear dead fruit in your present reality. If you revisit your past apart from the blood of Jesus and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're asking a spirit of offense to come into your present tense and bear dead fruit in your present reality. He either did it or he didn't. Jesus didn't say, it is to be continued. That's just so weird. It's not what he said. He said, it is
finished.
Something ended right there. Something ended right there. I mean, how clean does the blood of Jesus make you? Some or totally? Did John the Baptist pay a price just to forgive your sin? He said, behold the Lamb of God that forgives the sin of the world, or behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. So if he took it away, where did it go? It's away. Come on. I'm just being simple here. If he took it away, where did it go? Away. God says he removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. Unless you are one of those really weird thinking people that have a theory that the world is flat, which is so stupid. It's just stupid. What does that have to do with eternity? You're getting sidetracked. You're getting hoodwinked into some empty philosophy, empty stuff. Besides, I've flown around the world so many times. It just keeps going. I'm not kidding. In a week, I flew around the whole world. Yeah, it's a big old circle. Watch, here's my point. If he removes my sin as far as the east is from the west, if I go east in a world that's a circle, I never hit west. That flat earth stuff is so dumb. I just want to say that again. It takes you away from purpose. You're like, yeah, but it's the theory. Why not focus on something that's going to set you free instead of put you in bondage again? You all right? Okay, so we cast this demon out of the sky in the Brazil in the restaurant. And this was about 7 years ago. And so this guy's on the floor. What happened? I said, hold on, buddy. You need filled. And I shared the gospel with him, and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was really good. Because when something leaves, you got to fill it up with something. Something. Holy Ghost, amen? So the guy gets filled. He's praying in tongues. He gets off the floor. And I asked him, I said, what did you experience? He said 2 years ago, I had sex with a witch. And I cheated on my wife and ruined my marriage. And this black mist, he felt a black mist enter him. I said, well, it's gone now, buddy. And so we just had a great time. Now all the waiters and all the waitresses are hanging around. I said, who's next? They're like, uh-uh. So fun. So we went back to that restaurant last year, and I went back, of course, that was 7 years ago, and this assistant manager comes up, and he goes, I remember you. He goes, you cast the demon out of my manager. I said, whoa, dude, yes. It was awesome. He goes, I really like that. I go, thanks. He was one of the waiters. He's like, no, I don't want any prayer. And here he's like, he's the manager. And I said, how is he doing? And he's doing really good. He's just out of that profession. And so I said, man, I would love to pray for some of your waiters and waitresses if it'd be possible. And he goes, sure, as many as you want. We stayed there till 1:30. We prayed for 51 waiters and waitresses. No. Over 20 of them got born again. And I'm pretty sure it was over 30 that got healed. Why? Because we're there. See, one person in Christ is the majority. A million devils, one person in Christ. It's not like there's a challenge. One person that doesn't know who they are in Christ doesn't intimidate any devil. Demons are wanting to make you afraid. Satan works and thrives on fear. The kingdom thrives on faith. And your feelings can be affected with fear in so much where it torments you. And the soul gets tormented. And it's not okay. God desires you to be in good health and prosper even as your
soul.
That's what I want to talk about right now. Because soul prosperity is the absolute answer to the reality of all this stuff, depression, anxiety, fear, all of it. See, your soul, God desires your soul to prosper. And then he links it with health. He says that you would be in good health. Come on, even as, come on. Come on, and prosper even as your soul prospers. And soul prosperity is everything. It's like, it's the everything. Yeah, are you guys okay? Am I confusing or are you guys okay? Because I just go. You know, James talks about the wisdom of the world. And what does he say about it? What does he say? It is sensual and demonic. It's full of self-seeking and envy. And he says, every evil thing is there. Not some. He says, every evil thing is there. So I think we should put a lot of weight on the mind. A lot of weight. A lot. Because like Greg says, like Andrew preaches, your spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. This soul needs to be fixed. It needs to be transformed. This conference won't transform you. No, no, no. The conference won't. You get transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove God's will. That is the reality of what mind transformation does. See, when I get transformed, caterpillar into a butterfly, and I wish I could remember like the dead cell thing that he shared the other day. It was amazing, but I wrote it down. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna use it. It's gonna be amazing. Program cell what? Program cell death. That sounds so awesome. I mean, something has to happen to be from a caterpillar into a butterfly, right? But I've used that so many times in so many situations, just sharing my heart with people. The mind, remember the commercial, the mind is a terrible thing to waste? Remember that? Like, for those of you that are my age and above. I'm 55, so, but I love it so much. I've never felt better than I do right now. I've never been healthier than I am right now. I've never been more in love with Jesus than I am right now. I'm 21 years into the kingdom, born again, spirit-filled, 21 years. I've burned since the beginning. People told me to chill. You better slow down, brother. You need to chill, man. We don't want you to burn out. You can't burn out when you burn up. You can't. When you're in love with God and you see how much you've been forgiven. Like, my life thrives in the place that I've been forgiven much. So therefore, the benefit is to love much. When you don't believe you're forgiven, you love little. The more you focus on stuff that God said he did away with, you cannot get this thing on with Jesus. This is the simplicity of this gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is talking to these people and he says, oh, you know what? If you would just bear with me in a little foolishness, and indeed you do bear with me, for I betrothed you to one husband, then I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Sounds weird for people that have been with people that he presents you as a chaste virgin. It just sounds so weird. But the language he uses is, I've set you up with the bridegroom and I have betrothed. You're set up for the wedding date. And it doesn't matter where you've been in the world. When you come to Christ, the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all your dirt, all your funk, all your twistedness and all your nastiness. And God sees you as if you've never sinned. And if you don't see yourself that way, you'll look in the mirror and say you're a worthless sinner. How can you live a life worthy of the call if you're a worthless sinner? God is jealous for us with a godly jealousy. Come on, Paul says, oh, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear that just as Satan deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind might be corrupted and taken away from the simplicity and the pure devotion that's in the Christ. He takes it back to the simple truth of the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all unrighteousness. If I make a mistake today and I confess to God, he is faithful and just to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, which means the only thing that's left is righteousness. Yes. And I stand before him, and I boldly approach the throne of grace in time of need. And when's the last time you didn't need Jesus? So why can't I live in the throne room? Why can't I live beholding him? Because if we can't start to behold the Lamb, you're going to behold the world. You're going to behold one of two things. You're going to behold the world, or you're going to behold the Lamb. What are you looking at? I promise this is what it comes down to. You're going through stuff. You keep getting hit from every direction. Why do you think that is? For the sake of the word. We face fiery trials. We face all this stuff. Why do you think you're getting attacked? For the sake of the word. I'm serious. Satan's after the revelation of the word never hitting your heart. He wants things to be trapped in theory instead of revelation. So Satan comes and pounds you to stop the word from coming to fruition. When we're supposed to, James says, receive with meekness the implanted word for the saving of our souls. Wait a second. Spirit, soul, and body for the saving of my soul. So the word received in humility, admitting that, man, I can't do this without you. Like, this word is my life, your bread, your living bread, your living water. It's what sustains me. It's the only thing that keeps me going. Like, whom shall I fear? If God is for me, who can be against me? Everybody that's not for God. But who cares? Their vote doesn't count. I'm so serious. You guys think this is an act? I live this way. I'm crazy. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, so to say. I love Jesus with all my heart. He set me free from you. I'm serious. Come on, whom the Son sets free. Then why are people still pottering you? Because maybe they're Lord and he's not yet. If the truth hurts, believe it. God won't let you hurt for a long time. No, you get that revelation and the devil will pay for what he's done. He's a liar and the father of lies. Why do you want to think like him? The devil's depressed, he's angry, he's bitter, he's ashamed, he's afraid. Today might be trumpet time, and he's as hopeless as you could possibly get because he is cut off. He's a withering branch as we speak, cut off from the source of life. He can never, ever, 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 ever be anything. And he wants to create the same thing in your mind right here. Satan deceived Eve with his craftiness. Paul said, oh, that Satan wouldn't deceive you the same way. It's really this simple, I promise. The wisdom of the world, James describes as sensual and demonic. It's full of self-seeking and envy, and every, not a little, not just some evil, everything is found there. That's the way all of us grew up, evil. Yeah, but I went to church. I don't care. Selfishness is ingrained, inbred into you when you're born. You don't have to, look, a little kid going to Sunday school, that's awesome. Put two kids in a room, three-year-olds with one toy. Find out how much Sunday school has helped them. They will whack each other and someone's going out with that toy. I know, because I've got little boys. And I went through the little girl thing too, and they did the same thing. Mine. Take something that a baby likes from them. A little bit. Oh, you're so beautiful. You're so cute. Oh my goodness, look at you, get you, get you. Give me that rattle. What is that? Selfishness. You're born with it. Yet they don't even know. They didn't learn selfishness. No, you don't have to learn it. You're born with it. You're born with selfishness. You're born with it. You're born with jealousy. You're born with anger. You're born with hatred. You're born with all that stuff. That's why you must be born again. But born again doesn't just mean like going to heaven. Born again means I've been refathered. I got a brand new dad. Like a dad like the world's never seen. I got a brand new dad and my hope is in him. And he looks at me and he says, well done, Todd, run. Okay, Dad. And if I fall and hit my knee, I get up, Father, it's okay, run. Oh, if you can't connect with this, you can't be healed in your soul. You can't. This thing needs fixed. all the stuff we go through, all the trials of life, all the hardships, all the stuff. We got to be careful that we don't let stuff potter us. There is a suffering to the gospel that you're all called to enter into. Yeah. People are like, I'm going through enough stuff, buddy. I don't need any more. Oh, no, this is good suffering. Yeah. If you suffer for doing wrong, it's not commendable. But if you suffer for doing good, it's awesome. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. That blows sickness out of the water. People are like, well, sickness is suffering. No, it's not. You might say I'm suffering with sickness, but that's not suffering. Biblical suffering is suffering from persecution, being misunderstood. Are you with me? Are you okay? This is a big stronghold in the body of Christ, buddy. They believe they're bearing their sickness because it's suffering for God. Now, if you are bearing your sickness and it's suffering for God, you better not take medication because you're going to ruin God's plan for your life. And if your kid has asthma and you're on a plane and they go through an asthma fit, you better not give them the bronchiolator because you'll be ruining God's plan. That's child abuse. And yet we're going to look at our father that way? What are we doing? Is it really that twisted that he's not a good father? We say, you know what? The Lord's in control. Sometimes we think that sickness is from God. If sickness is from God, then Hebrews 10:38, when God anointed Jesus of, or Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were what? Oppressed by who?
The devil.
So if Jesus healed people that God made sick, Jesus is going against his father, and that scripture is not true. I'm going to say it again. If God makes people sick, then Jesus, only coming down to do the will of his father, when he healed people, he would be going directly against the father. That is not, because a house divided cannot stand. Jesus healed people because it was God's will to heal people. People say, well, I mean, we just don't know how many people, like who did he suggest should deserve healing? It's not a deserve thing. If you want what you deserve, go to hell. Because that's what you deserve. But by grace through faith, Jesus paid a price that we could be healed because he paid the price for us to be healed. It's not, but we got to get this whole weird thing. I'm so glad Andrew wrote the book on the sovereignty of God because it is so confusing and so mixed up. Religion teaches horrible things. Horrible things. Horrible. Just like the Pharisees taught back then. I mean, the Pharisees see Jesus, he's the Son of God. They want to kill him. They want to kill the Son of God. And Jesus said, you study the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but these scriptures testify about me and you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Bible. I am all about the word. Actually, it's laced in everything that I say because I live in the word. It's changed my life. It's transformed me. But the reality of this thing is we can't afford to get this thing confused and get it messed up. God does not stamp approval. Go and make that one sick. Let that one live. Heal that one. Give that one this disease. Let that one go. Nope. Let that family alone. Attack everybody in this family. It's a demonic lie from the devil. And it breaks people because when that happens, what happens is you are bound with unbelief. You cannot walk in faith. You can't. There's no way for you to pray. Because if you think it's from God, there's no way to pray. That's it. Well, we've prayed. We haven't seen breakthrough. Don't change God's word to fit your experience. It's the hardest thing, man. I'm telling you, it's hard. Like I prayed for my grandma. I watched her die. I prayed for my father who had a lung disease. I prayed for my dad, which I've seen those lung disease healed. I watched my dad die in front of me. It's the hardest thing that you'll ever have to deal with. But it's a cross. You can choose to go forward and believe God's word, or you can get sidetracked and be no good for anybody. God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven?
No.
There's not. Can you imagine people in heaven being sick? That's just dumb. Like people are sick sometimes for their whole life and they can't wait to go be with Jesus. Why? To ease their pain. And I understand. I'm not against going to be with Jesus. But I'm telling you, that one touch from heaven, and that stuff is broken, gone, and you're healed. And then you're looking for people that are going through what you went through so that you can destroy hell in their life too. The Christian is made manifest. Jesus was made manifest for this purpose. 1 John 3:8, to destroy the works of the devil. We have to understand, what is the work of the devil? What does he do? Well, his MOS, military wise, his MOS is steal, kill, destroy. He is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So anywhere that you see death, loss, or destruction, you have authority to write the check in Jesus' name to destroy that thing. Watch this. If I don't know what's in my account, so to speak, like, let's just speak this way. If I don't know what's in my account, healing, prosperity, no depression, no anxiety, no fear. Come on, this is real big. No demons. Like, if I don't know that's in my account, then I won't be able to write the check in Jesus' name here. I have to know what I've been given. And you've been given all things, life and godliness. All things are yours. You know what else? Look, can I just show you real quick? Gosh, my time is not good. 9 minutes? Serious? Wait a minute. I don't see no clock. I'm sorry. I was going to take you the first time. We're not going to do it. I'm sorry. It would have opened up something that I won't have time to seal up. Go to Romans 8 with me real quick. How many of you like Romans 8? Oh, after you get done with Romans 7, Romans 8 is a blessing. If you read Romans 8, you're like, Romans 8, woo! Because Romans 8 is speaking to religion. It's speaking to people that know the law and are trying to do it in their own strength. Romans 8 is by the Spirit. All right, I want you to go all the way down to Romans 8, 38. I love this so much. When this opened up to me when I first got born again, because I had to, like, I came out of horrible. How many of you don't know my testimony? Where have you been? I'm just kidding. I was really, really lost, and now I can see. I'm sorry. No, I was 22 years drug addiction. I was very, very angry. I grew up in a place called the Masonic Homes from 12 on. I got extradited across the U.S. twice. I was kicked out of the military, out of the Marines. I was in and out of jail. I had $14,000 in court costs. I was really, really, really jacked up. I had no understanding of God. I lived for myself my whole life. And it's no one else's fault that you live that way. It's just the way that people grow up. It's the way they live. You can't blame it on your parents. You can't blame it on anybody. You got to understand and take ownership over this thing and get free, really. And so I was with my girlfriend for 9 years. I threatened to take her life for 7 out of my 7.5-year-old daughter's life, our kid. And if she left me, I was going to take her out and take myself out. And that was it. I put us through bankruptcies, repossessions, all kinds of stuff. I met her. She had no idea of my past. She had no idea I owed $14,000 to clerk of courts, like fines, court costs. I was a bad dude. And man, 7.5 years into my daughter's life, I ended up incorporating God into my life. Because I was going to put a gun in my mouth and shoot myself. Instead, I went to a church and met a guy that loved God. And he told me that God wanted my life. And I thought, well, if I bring this Jesus thing in, maybe I can get my girlfriend back. So I maneuvered, manipulated, tried that. That didn't work. So 5.5 months later, I'm going to church and singing the songs and raising my hands and living not as a man of God would, but just a person that put on a face at church. And then 5.5 months later, I went and ripped off a drug dealer, and he unloaded a 9mm at 10 feet away from me. And when the bullets came out of that gun, I heard a voice say, I took those bullets for you. Are you ready to live for me yet? I heard the voice. I was in the car. He was 10 feet away, and he emptied a 9mm. People were like, well, I don't know about that. I don't care what you know. I was in the car, and I should be dead. And I heard his voice. I never want to hear his voice like that again, ever. But he saved me. So I came home. I went away to Teen Challenge. I was in Teen Challenge for 2 months, thought I lost everything. And in there, The Bible became the first book I could understand. First book I could literally read and not just go through and like, I don't know. When I tried to read before, my brain would just go, but I wouldn't remember anything I read my whole life. And so all of a sudden, the Bible made sense. And the first thing he showed me was that he would remember my sins no more. I know that sounds simple to people because we read it. Actually, we talked about Jeremiah. It says, this is the covenant that I will make with them in that day. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. I'll remove their sin as far as the east is from the west. See, people don't think this is the answer for healing, but I promise you it is. Because if you can't come to terms with the gospel and what he's done for you, then you can't give the good news to somebody else because you don't even believe it for yourself. I'm going to say that again. If you can't believe the good news that you've been forgiven and your sins have been forgotten and you're a brand new creation, old things have passed away and all things become new. If you can't believe that, you can't share your faith with somebody else because you don't believe it yourself. It's the good news. I love how Andrew describes it. It's too good to be true news. And that's what it was for me because all that stuff, like I have to pay the price for all that I've done. And man, I had these three nights where I had encounters with Jesus and he completely transformed my life. I come home from Teen Challenge like 10 months early. And when I get home, my girlfriend had come to Christ when I went away. And we got married 4 days later. Like, it's radical. But it didn't go over well for mom. Like her mom, my mom was like, I hope this works. Because I ruined life. I mean, I wrecked everything. I was a train wreck. I was a freight train for the kingdom of hell. And I destroyed everything. But when God rescued me, he gave me this prosperous soul. And it starts with knowing that you've been forgiven. Listen to this. This is the covenant that I will make with them in that day. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. That's the covenant that you and I are in. The problem is we take things personal. And we're listening to the stranger's voice instead of the shepherd's voice. Jesus said, my sheep, which makes him a shepherd, will hear and obey my voice, and the strangers they won't follow. You're commanded by the Lord to not follow a stranger's voice. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give you life and life abundantly. Your abundant life starts with believing that you've been forgiven. Not just forgiven a little, but forgiven and your sins have been forgotten and God will never bring them up again. Now look, when I came home, I had so much of a mess that I created. But when I got home, I was clean. Like clean, clean. Like I look in the mirror, clean. I wake every morning for 21 years, almost 21. Clean, like clean. October 24th, my wife and I got married 21 years ago. Clean. 100% clean. I've never woke up guilty, ashamed, or condemned for 21 years. 21 years straight. People are like, well, brother, that's just a special gift. Yep, it's the one that you fail to unwrap. It's the free, watch this, it's the free gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. The word abundance there means violently excessive. So it's the free gift of righteousness. Righteousness, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that I might become something. But if I don't see what I've become, I will constantly continue to try to do to be instead of to be to do. Yeah. You are not to be a do-be. You are to be a be-do. Yeah. What does that mean? When I become right with God, all my doing comes out of my right standing with God. I'm not doing anything because I'm trying to gain favor with God or I'm trying to please him more. I'm as pleasing as I'm going to be when I believe that what Jesus did is enough. This sounds like weird, like you do a healing school and it sounds like it's like, you know, we didn't even pray for anybody. What you don't understand is that Jesus said, then they will know the truth and the truth shall set them free. The truth sets you free. We're going to pray for the sick in just a moment. Most important thing for me is, do you believe the truth or is the truth hard for you to believe? Because if we can't believe the truth, it's going to be really hard for us to receive from God. I mean, how many of you believe that you have the ability, because the Bible says, to hear God's voice? Wow, that's not many people. How many of you believe that you can hear God's voice? Thanks. Okay. How many of you struggle hearing it? Now, be honest. Look, this is where hands go. Look, right now you lie, you fry. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I want to make it lighthearted because I preach some intense stuff sometimes. So I want to make sure that you got the laugh, sleeping gas, so I can stick the sword in. I'm serious about the truth. We don't hunger for the truth like we need to. Some people hunger for the news because they think that because it's been a habit that you've been into for so many years, it satisfies. The world's going down. Darkness and deep darkness will cover the earth. But the Bible says, arise and shine. Arise and shine. It says, but not so with you. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is a big deal. Are you guys okay? I'm negative, but I don't see it. Because they're not preaching here until tonight at like 6 o'clock. So we good. No, I'm just kidding. All of a sudden I'll see red dots on my chest. You guys tell me if you see them. I've preached in churches where they're like, you got 27 minutes, buddy. And I look and I got a red dot. Okay, guys, love you. I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Oh my gosh. Let me read Romans 8 to you real quick. This is one of my favorite sections of scripture because it defines what can separate me from the love of God. Like, he talked about Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He talked about forgetting those things that are behind, pressing forward to those things that lie ahead. It's the gospel. The gospel says you can't put your hands to the plow and look back because you're not fit for the kingdom. You can't plow straight if you look back. See, in the gospel, the truth of rearview Christianity has been annihilated by the blood of Jesus. But if I don't believe that, I am never going to get enough ministry to be free. I am never going to get enough ministry, enough counseling sessions, if I don't believe the blood of Jesus and its perfect work. It doesn't matter how many counseling sessions you go through. I promise you, if you don't meet the counselor, you will always need somebody to counsel you. You have been given somebody called the Spirit of... Come on. Then you will know the truth and the truth will... If that's true, then why are we in bondage? Because we don't know it. We quote it, but we don't know it. Jesus Christ on that tree, he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is that God looks at me as if I never missed it. Did I mess up after I got saved? Yes, I did. But the second that I saw that I messed up, I confessed, God, that is not who he created me to be. And I confess the truth. He takes it. He expunges it from my record. It's gone. He'll never visit it again. It's gone. Unless I don't believe. Satan is after your believer. Because if he can stop your believer, he'll stop you. Look at this. It says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We could go back and read all that, but more than a conqueror is pretty amazing because to conquer is really amazing. But to be more than a conqueror is something that we don't even get. But to be more than a conqueror is to step in to walk just like Christ walked. I mean, every demon that Christ was against, he said, what have you to do with us? Have you come to torment us before our appointed time? Come on. Every sickness Jesus prayed for was healed every time. And he says, the same Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11, that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He says, the same anointing is available. As a matter of fact, he says in John 14:12, that these same works that I do, he who believes, then watch this, Satan's after your believer. So these same works that I do, he who believes in me will do the same works that I do because I'm gonna go to be with the Father. He went to be with the Father and the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And the first day of Christianity was the day of Pentecost when they all got baptized in the Holy Spirit. These guys were praying in tongues. Look, these guys, a couple chapters in, were known as people that flipped the whole world upside down. I want to be a world flipper. I want to be a guy that comes to town. Here's that guy. The whole world's turned upside down because of him. I want to bring glory to the Lord, buddy. I don't want to just walk this thing. I want to fight the fight of faith and crush hell all the way through. I want to destroy the enemy. Guys, this is our birthright. We are children of the Most High God. We are children of God Himself. He's our Father. And He looks at you because of what Jesus did, and He says, you are my son, you are my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Yeah, but I didn't do anything. That's all right. Do you believe that what my son did is enough? Yes. The more you get that, the more your doing becomes an everyday. Because faith without works is dead, and you'll realize that I'm walking in faith. Here's the working of faith. In the name of Jesus, come out of her. And all of a sudden, you start to see people free wherever you go. You start to see people on airplanes manifest demons. That's fun. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. When you see a flight attendant's eyes roll up into her head on the airplane in front of all the other people, you can't just leave her like that. Oh, it sounds funny, but I promise you, people on airplanes are not okay with confrontation. No, 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 no. I've had some crazy experiences because I'm not going to ignore him. I'm not going to just be, we'll just keep it hush here. There's too many people. Nope, the more the merrier. I'm so serious. Gosh, I wish I had all day. Oh, that's right, I have all night. We'll do it again. So nice. Okay. All right, verse 37. Listen to the language here. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Listen to this. Don't leave. Hey, where are you going? Hey, where are you going? Hey. That's right. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, I was just playing. Hey, come here. Now, come here right now. Come here. I just want to hug you. Come here. I love you. Bless you, buddy. I was playing with you. I love you, okay? Amen. I'll pray for him. Yeah. Jesus, thank you so much for Shalom of Heaven. Father, I thank you for the peace of God that surpasses understanding in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you love this one so much. He's your son that you're well pleased with. God, I thank you for how amazing he is to you. Father, I ask you to bless him, overwhelm him with the goodness of a king. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you, buddy. Bless you. Okay, sorry. Can I just say, I've been in meetings where people left and I've said, hey, where are you going? They manifest a demon and get set free. Crazy. I had one guy leave one time. I remember he was leaving and he had like a severe back issue. And I had a word of knowledge. He was at the door. I said, hey, you don't believe any of this? He goes, nah. I said, what about your back? He goes, what about my back? What the blank about my back? That don't go over in church well. I said, Jesus is healing you right now. And he healed his back. I'm serious. Okay. It says this, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now listen, when this scripture is read at churches, people clap, scream, amen. But I'm gonna tell you something that's not on this list. And if you don't see it, you're going to be deceived. And I want you to read it through it with me. Look, I'm persuaded that neither death, I want you to say death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other created thing. None can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come. Your past didn't make the list. I need you to see it. Do you see up there where it says principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come? Because the truth is that Jesus dealt with your past. Your past is the only thing that can stop you from receiving the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Look at the list with me. I'm gonna come down here with you. Let's look at the list. This is it. This is in your Bible. I think it's even in the Message. Maybe. Probably, hopefully. Please, God, let it be in there. Angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come. Your past isn't on the list because God dealt with it. Now watch. When we're wondering why the love of God is so hard for us, it's because we're continually looking back at the things we wished we'd never done, at the things that we wished that were never done to us, and we're living in a place of regret. Now watch. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 7, it says, regret produces death, but godly sorrow leads to repentance. Regret produces death. So if I live in a place of regret, it's okay, making a mistake a year ago. Man, I just can't believe I did that. Gosh, so stupid. Just, I can't believe it. Okay, you believe it. You did it. So now you pick yourself up, you repent, you turn from where you were, you look at the truth. God knows you did it. It's not like he was absent when you did it. It's not like he missed it. Like, God will never remind you and take you back to where you were. God doesn't remind you of your past. He shares your future. He tells you who you are today. The more I get caught up in looking back, the less I can get things on with the kingdom. And look, the more I look back, the harder it is for me to share the good news with someone in front of me. We're afraid, but that fear is cast out. What casts out all fear? What love? It's not just perfect love. God's perfect love casts out all fear. So perfect love casts out all fear. Being loved perfectly by the Father is where it's at. See, I realized that I messed up so big and had so many things I did wrong. There's nothing I could do to go back and fix any of it. As a matter of fact, when I got to the house that day from Teen Challenge, I didn't know where my girl was. I ruined her life. I threatened to kill her. I was bipolar. I was borderline schizophrenic. I was manic depressed. I was on meds. I was messed up. Jesus healed me. Like, he set me free of depression, anxiety, fear. Anxiety has taken over the body of Christ. Depression has taken over the body of Christ. Depression isn't just a chemical imbalance. Addiction isn't just a chemical imbalance. I know we've scientifically explained it, but I mean, after I got saved, I mean, I was 22 years straight hooked on drugs, hooked on alcohol. And when I got set free and he showed me I was forgiven and he showed me that my sins weren't just forgiven, they were forgotten, I realized that I didn't do any of those bad things. People are like, well, that's not true, buddy. I mean, you could be in jail for it. I get it. But what happens for a person that actually is serving a sentence because of something they wish they'd never done, if they see that they're a brand new creation and old things have passed away and all things become new, they become a missionary in the jail system. And all of a sudden, the place that they are is their mission field. See, what you don't understand is that when you see who God created you to be, every place you go is your mission field. Well, yeah, but I'm going to the mission field to Africa. I don't know about you, but America needs Jesus, buddy. Go to Africa. But when you come home, don't get bit by some mission bug and think he only moves over there. He doesn't just move there. He moves here. He moves through people who are the move of God. God's already moved. We're not praying for a move of God. We need to move. God is good. Come on. We say all the time, but it's real. It's not just a statement. God is absolutely incredibly good. So good. So good. He's so good. Are you guys with me? When you look back, you're apart from the blood of Jesus. You're asking a spirit of offense to come into your present day reality and bear dead fruit right now in your life. When you go back and think about that thing, look, the enemy's notorious. Why? Because we don't want to mess up. I love what Greg said. The fact that you're convicted when you mess up means your heart's changed. You don't have the same heart. There was a time in your life when you wouldn't even have cared. Thank God you care. There's a seed that's growing. Just stop nurturing the carnal nature and start nurturing your divine nature. Stop nurturing the carnal nature and start nurturing the divine nature. Start nurturing the Christ in you, the hope of glory, and start to see this thing think the way that God thinks. And all of a sudden, you're completely changed. And everywhere you go, you become a conduit for him to use. He wants to use you. You're like, yeah, but I'm not qualified. The very fact that you think you're not qualified qualifies you. I'm serious. The ones that scare me are the ones that think they're qualified. That's scary. I'm a prophet. Qualified. I'm like, don't give me your card. So that's weird. I love people, but let's boast in him. Yeah. Let's go after Jesus like never before. Let's show the world that he's alive. Yes. Like, let's bring the love of God to a lost and dying world. Everywhere you go, here's the great thing. It's 3 o'clock, right? You got till 6 o'clock. You're going to go somewhere. Yeah. I bet there might be people there when you go. There might be people that need Jesus. I don't go anywhere without him. Jesus said, behold, I'm with you. I will never leave you. So he's with me. Why don't I just believe that? Come on, look, here's what I do. Come here. So let me just explain. Well, if I want to pray for somebody, I'm just going to. Thank you. I didn't get your name.
Sheila.
Sheila.
You called my name last night.
Yeah. Oh, I got your name in a prayer. I forgot it.
That was it.
Okay. Sheila. Sorry. Sheila. You're amazing. I love your hair.
Thank you.
I just shaved all 3 feet of dreads.
Oh, wow.
They were down to here. Yeah. Everybody's like, is that really Todd? Cut his hair. If I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to ask Sheila to pray for her, a lot of times I'm not going to ask her to pray for her. But let me explain. Like when you say, hey, listen, I'd like to pray for you, they have to roll through what they think prayer is. And then they might say, okay, here's what happens a lot of times. Let's say you were me and you said, hey, can I pray for you? And say, oh, yeah, sure. And sure you can. They're leaving because they think you're going to pray for them when they leave. Follow them. Yeah, come on. But honestly, this is a way I think is one of my favorite. One of my favorite. Okay. Sheila, do you have anything going on with your discs in your back?
Yes.
Okay. You have 2 discs that give you trouble?
Yes.
Okay. You have sciatic stuff going down your right leg?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You have sleeping stuff that gives you trouble? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. And then a foot that kind of gets numb?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Right foot?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Okay. So just... He loves you so much. Hey, I need you to come up here with her. Please, you know her, right? Okay, come on. Sorry, I'll point you out because you're a woman of God. He loves you. Amen. Okay. So in most cases, if you get a word of knowledge like that, they're so freaked out, especially if they don't know anything about God. They think you're some kind of psychic. I'm serious. Sometimes like you're praying for somebody, you go out there and you go, hey, excuse me, I'm sorry, but I really hear in my heart that you have 2 herniated discs, sciatic nerve damage going down your right leg. What? You're a psychic. Oh, and you also have numbness in your feet and you're having trouble sleeping. What? Yes. When you say, give me your hand, they go like this, like you're going to read it. I'm serious. You know what that is? That's a landing strip for the Holy Ghost. Now look. Listen, I want you to think about this. You cut through all the stuff when you ask somebody for their hand. If you ask them to pray, they got to think about all the things they think prayer is. But if you just say, hey, can I see your hand? Just take their hand like this. Just take it and just close your eyes. People say, don't close your eyes. I close my eyes. I'll take one for the team. I'm serious. I close my eyes because then you don't have to see them turning all kinds of different shades and making weird faces and their friends behind them going, woo, Looney Tune, all that. And I just, honestly, I just gently say, Father, I thank you so much for 2 brand new discs. I thank you for brand new in Jesus' name. I thank you for sleep being restored, God. I thank you for your great love. I thank you, God, that you're the God of comfort and you love us. I thank you so much for all the numbness in the feet leaving in Jesus' name. Absolutely no more. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the restoration of family. I thank you for children burning with the fire of heaven. I thank you for children's hearts that have turned a little, that are turning back to God right now, saying, God, you're not a thief that has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you are God that has come to love us. Father, I thank you that you bless Sheila in the name of Jesus. You love her so much, God. Thank you for your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. Lord, thank you for loving her.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you,
Jesus' name.
Yes, Jesus.
And I thank you for a son that preaches the gospel.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Jesus. One that has gone real smart, but's coming back to his roots and coming back to the truth of how he got brought up.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for them grandkids being burning ones and on fire for God. Father, we love you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. I need you to bend and check your back.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Lord. Amen. 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 I thank you for every bit of arthritis coming out of your body in Jesus' name. I thank you for shoulders being healed. I thank you for fingers being made whole. I thank you for toes reactivated in Jesus' name. Thank you for brand new knees. Lord, we love you. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. God, you're faithful and we love you. You know everything about us, God, and we love you so much. Father, I thank you. Jesus, Jesus' name. Thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I really do. I see God taking the scrolls of the Bible, of the book, and actually bringing them into your son's heart and it breathing on them and the life coming back right in. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. If you've got sickness in your body, I want you to stand to your feet right now, please. Jesus' name, thank you. I see you. We'll go pray. I see you. We're going to stay right where we're at. You're not going to come to me. We're going to pray for each other, okay? Sheila, I love you. I love you. Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you. Bless you.
Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. All of us, if we're born again, have the Holy Spirit in us. How many of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Raise your hands. Hey, I've got an army of equipped believers. I'm so serious. And God wants to use you. He wants us to be the hands and feet of Jesus himself. But this doesn't just work in church. This works everywhere we go. Because God wants us to be mobile with our faith. He wants us to go grocery shopping with him. He wants us to bring God into Walmart. He wants us to manifest the kingdom. Everywhere you go, God will give you words of knowledge if you're just more hungry for him than you are for the world. God will give you the prophetic if you're just more hungry for him than you are for the world. He will. Life is a waste of time if we're not living unto Jesus. I promise you. You get to the end and find out all these years you could. I don't want to be sitting somewhere at the end of my life saying, I wish I woulda. No, I'm going to live my life with a 100-year vision and plan for 100 years, but I'm going to live today like there's no tomorrow. I'm going to plan like I have 100 years in front of me, but I'm going to live today like there's no tomorrow. Like tomorrow, today might be my last day on the planet. What can I do to affect people, to affect life in such a way as a conduit for the kingdom of heaven to flow through, crushing hell everywhere I go? That's what I want to do. And that's what every Christian has the right to do because you've been given that through righteousness. We are the hands and feet of Jesus and we get to let the enemy flee everywhere we go. He is deathly afraid of you finding out who you are in Christ because when you know who you are in Christ, he's finished. He's finished. So I want you to put your hand on somebody beside you. We're just gonna pray corporately. Let's get some people around this beautiful little girl over here. Gonna pray for her. Come on. What's her name?
Anna.
Anna. You're so precious, Anna. You're so beautiful. All right. Come on, I want you to put your hands on somebody around you right now. Come here, buddy. Come here. You want to help me pray? Okay, you don't have to. All right. Come on, I want to get some of the healing team. I want you to come around Anna right now. Put my hands on her. Amen. Come on. Yay. Did you guys have fun? Is this fun? This is fun. It's activation. So good. I pray that no matter where you go, this is not going to leave you. You're going to be so convicted. Not condemned. Not condemned. Not guilty, not ashamed. Convicted that God wants to use you because you're his kids. Amen? I want you to say this with me. In the name of Jesus, we command all sickness and all disease to leave right now. In Jesus' name, we speak to shoulders be loosed in Jesus' name. We speak to necks, every disc in the neck and back, be healed, be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. All sciatic nerve damage, be healed in Jesus' name. Every bulging disc, be healed. Every perforated disc, be healed in Jesus' name. Spinal cord, be healed in Jesus' name. All nerve damage, we command it to leave now in Jesus' name. We speak life and wholeness over you. Every joint in your body, elbows, knees, hips, ankles, be healed. Arthritis, we break your power in the name of Jesus. Get out right now. We cancel your assignment in Jesus' name. Be made whole right now. Every organ, heart, lungs, kidneys, liver, pancreas, be healed in Jesus' name. Digestive system, be healed in Jesus' name right now. 100% healing. Every bit of arthritis, get out in Jesus' name right now. We thank you for healing. We thank you for wholeness in every cell in our body. Mind, you be free in Jesus' name. Hope, be restored. Depression, we break your power. We plead the blood of Jesus over depression right now. All anxiety, in the name of Jesus. All fear, we command it to leave in Jesus' mighty name. Bladder, be healed in Jesus' name. Asthma, get out in Jesus' name. Hearts, be made whole. Blood pressure, be restored in Jesus' name. Every migraine headache, we command you cease and desist. No more headaches. Allergies are broken in Jesus' name. Every disease, we demand healing into all of our bodies in the name of Jesus right now. We thank you. All knees be healed. Brand new cartilage. Brand new connective tissue. In Jesus' name. Every sports injury, be healed in Jesus' name right now. Father, we love you and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. All right, I need everybody in the room to move around and check your body. I want you to check and see if it's gone. Really check. Really move around. I'm serious. Move around, bend, squat, do whatever. I'm not kidding. God is amazing. Come on. If you sense breakthrough in your physical body right now, wave your hands above your head right now. Come on. Come on, wave your hands if you have breakthrough going on right now. That's awesome. Come on, let's pray again. Put your hand on somebody's shoulder. Let's do it again. I want you to say this. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the fulfillment of my healing, absolute wholeness, complete, no more pain, no more sickness, no more deafness, ears open, in Jesus' mighty name. Every disease, we cancel its assignment. We command it be healed. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing and wholeness. In Jesus' name, 100% wholeness. Body, you be healed. In Jesus' precious name, every bit, let her go. Now, in Jesus' name, complete freedom, 100% wholeness. Every neurological function, be restored right now in Jesus' name. Every limb, be healed in Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name, every bit. The Lord Jesus Christ makes you whole. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you for your great love for Anna. In Jesus' name, Anna, you be healed. You be made whole. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you for every cell being healed right now. Keep your hands on her. Keep praying. Father, thank you. If you have a deaf ear, I want you to raise your hand. Okay. All right. Okay. Deafness in the room, put your hand up. Okay. If your hand is up, I want somebody to be around you. I want to put their hands on your ears. Somebody, I need you around every hand that's up. Hands are up. People's hands are on their ears. We're going to pray for them. Is there ears too? Okay. Yeah. Hi. Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay. Over everybody that has their hands on their ears, I want you guys to say this with me. Don't bring her to me, please. I want people around you to pray for her. Please don't come up front to me. This works against everything that I teach, because we all need to be activated. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, if that happens, then I have to come back in order for it to happen. And that's not the gospel. Are you with me? Are you guys okay? Some people are like, but I need you to pray for me. Stop it. Christ in us is the hope of glory. If you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the same equipment that I do. You have the same Father that I have. You have the same Lord that I have. You have the same King that I have. Come on. Let's press into this and let's go after this. Let's stop going for something else and let's go after Him for everything that He has. We can have everything. We've been given everything. We need to step into that. Are you with me? Okay, come on. Let's do this. People that have their ears, that we're praying for their ears. On the count of three, all of us are going to yell pop. And we're going to believe for the deaf ears popping open right now. Are you with me? On the count of three, we're all going to yell pop. And they're not popping because of the name pop. They're popping because it's in Jesus' name. Are you with me? One, two, three. Pop! Jesus' name. If there's change in an ear, I need to see your hand right now. If you have change in hearing right now, come on. It's awesome. It's awesome. Who else? Where else is change? If you have change in the hearing right now, something just happened. You have something just, come on. Come on. Come on. Who else? Change in hearing. I want to see your hand if you have change in hearing right now. Back there? Yes? Come on. That's awesome. Where else? Where else? Change in hearing. Wave your hands at me if you have change in hearing. Come on, that's awesome. That's so good. Yay. His too? Yes? That's awesome. Okay. All right. We're going to do it again. I want you to put your hands on ears again. Right now, we're going to do it again. Come on. Hey, you're on her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Complete change. Chromosomes be healed. In Jesus' name, I thank you for brand new ears. I thank you in the name of Jesus for speech. I thank you that every bit of her voice is going to be restored. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Brand new. In Jesus' name. Okay, on the count of three, we're going to yell the same thing. Are you ready? One, two, three. Pop! If you have change in your ears, I want to see your hands again. Come on. Yeah, that's awesome. Woo! Better? Is it gone? Better. You can hear. Ugh. That's awesome. If you can hear, wave your hands at me so I can see what's happening. That's awesome. Come on, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. One more time. We're going to put hands on. I want you to lay hands on somebody beside you. This time I want you to pray for one person. I want you to get with one person. Each person gets one person to pray for. Come on. Yep, this is where it gets weird. You're like, it's okay. Okay, I want you to ask them what they need prayer for, and I want you to pray for them in Jesus' name right now. Just for 30 seconds, do it. Come on, ask them what they need prayer for, and I want you to pray for them. Come on, ask them right now. For the shalom of heaven, God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Shalom of heaven, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
We're going to honor this time of ministry. If my prayer ministers could please come to the front and be available for those. For our audience online, if you'd like to call 719-635-1111, we have prayer ministers available for you. We look forward to seeing you all again. Remember, Healing Now is on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. You guys have a wonderful afternoon.